My name is Alma Carrillo. I'm working for the Bracero History Project. Can you introduce yourself, please?
What's that?
What's your name?
My name is Robert Schoke, and I live in Litchfield Park, Arizona.
What was the date, your date of birth?
10, 17, and 24, a long time ago.
And where were you born?
Atchison, Kansas.
So how, you had some interaction with Braceros,
I understand? Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. We farmed at west of Tolleson, Arizona, and we farmed from, our farm was located between Van Buren Street and Highway 80, and from the Alfrio River west for a mile. And we grew cotton and lettuce and dairied. And in I believe the year was probably about 1952, we were growing lettuce then and we were growing cotton. And this is before the machines came in. And another farmer, the Roy Tate farm to the east of us, we went in a kind of a partnership and we joined the Bracero program, which was very good. And every year for about 3 years, I believe, we acquired 100 Braceros from Mexico, and they worked in the lettuce and they worked in picking cotton. And both of our farms were able to keep all of them working. We furnished them housing, which is now on no longer what we call the government camp. And it was located at Dysart and Van Buren on the northeast corner. And they had cabins which housed four braceros per cabin. We would get 25 of those every year. And we furnished all their bedding and their cotton sacks, of course. And they had a hot plate, or kind of a two-burner stove in there, and they did their own cooking for the first year or two. And then somebody thought they'd better eat cafeteria. The Braceros didn't care for that much, and I didn't believe in it either, because they ate pretty good and on their own, and but they were charged $2.50 a day for their meals, not by us, but by the Bracero program. We paid them the same rate as anybody else in the valley was paying for picking cotton. It was a very good program, and they really saved us. And that's about all, unless you have some other questions about that.
Yeah, you said it saved you. How did it save you?
Because we didn't have people to hand pick cotton. It was very hard to get people to hand pick cotton.
Was it hard because of the work, or was it hard because of the pay?
No, it wasn't. The pay was determined by everybody in the whole valley. And but I wanted to point out that we paid them the same. And in fact, it cost us more, but Braceros, frankly, did a lot better job than the local people. And our cotton was always at the top grade when we ginned it. And it was nice to have them that would, they would thin our lettuce. They weren't used, they didn't do any of the harvesting, but our season was over maybe sometime Christmas, and they would go back home. We furnished a doctor for them, and a dentist. The dentist is located. His name is Dr. McMillan. He passed away a few years ago in Litchfield Park. And Dr. Martin was a medical doctor in Avondale. And if they had any complaints, I'd take them right to the doctor. We took them for their groceries at the local. We had nothing to do. They would go and cash their checks. And then usually on Monday morning, I would take their money and go to the post office and get money orders, and they'd send that money home.
Really?
Yeah. It was a good program. You don't hear all this talk now about immigration. Why they don't do that again? And even the green card program, I don't really understand it, because we never did have any occasion to use the green card people, but I was wondering, why don't they really push that, you know?
So what was your role in these farms? What was the name of the farm first?
Well, it was Collier Farm and Roy Tate Farm, located east of Avondale then. It's in Avondale now, but east of Avondale.
And what was your role with the farms? Were you a farmer?
I was a farmer.
Okay.
And I grew the cotton, the lettuce, and everything.
So did you have other people from Mexico working in the farms before the Bracero program started?
Well, yes. Mostly Yaqui Indians would do our irrigating. And they have a history too, but I couldn't tell you. They came before I started farming, but their home in the valley was mostly in Guadalupe, south of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Do you know where it is?
I haven't been there.
Oh, okay. And we hired them to do, and we furnished them housing too. And they did our irrigation, mostly.
Was it the same housing that was later used for the Braceros?
No, it was just a few houses on the farm. The Braceros, we took them to what they called the government camp. I don't know why. And we hired one. Out of the 100 braceros, I usually find a responsible one, usually an older gentleman, and put him in charge of the camp. And he had his own cabin, but he stored all the blankets and things, and he took care of those, and he policed the area for trash and things. And I forget his name. It's been so long ago. He was really, really a character. And
why was he really a character? What do you remember about him?
Oh, it's the way he joked and things, you know. Yeah.
Did he joke in Spanish or in English?
I have knowledge of a little ditch, what we call ditch bank Spanish. Yeah. I could communicate with him.
Yeah.
And they were very easy to get along with. For instance, one of them, somebody sold him a gun, and he was out in the cotton fields trying it out, and so I, well, you're gonna have to go back, and he was very cooperative, and I took him downtown, put him on a bus for Nogales, and that's less, and people said, well, taking a chance, or no, he was easy. He understood, I've been trying to think of some good stories to tell, but I, you know.
Did you remember any other problems with any of the braceros?
Well, we did. We did have a few problems. I put them in a field that wasn't quite ready to pick yet, and they didn't like that. And so the Mexican council came out and talked to them, and and I shifted them to another field, and everything was fine.
Why was it that important for them? Why was it not ready?
Oh,
like, what is it? Is
cotton
it
opens,
mm-hmm.
and when it's all the way open, it's ready. And we were probably, it opens at different times. It depends on the weather and things. And we didn't defoliate it in those days. And it just an occasion where they thought that I was trying to put something over them, I guess. I wasn't. Anyway, we got that straightened out in no time.
That's good.
I mean, that was the only here's a for instance. We'd have a fellow, and he was all choked up with cold, and I'll take you to the doctor, I'll come and pick you up, and go. When I get there to pick him up, I had the whole pickup full of guys, because it was something for them to do, to go to the doctor, and they'd pile on my pickup, and I'd take them, Some of them wouldn't even go in, something for them to do. I really enjoyed having them. We had two fellows that lived in Tallis, the Madrano brothers. They lived in Tallis, and then they had two big buses, and they were the foremen out in the field with them, and they'd haul them.
Do you used to take them to the fields from where?
From the corner of Dysart here, just down the road a little ways. Yeah.
So did you have any other interaction with the Mexican consulate?
Do what?
With the Mexican consulate. Did you have any other interaction?
No, that was the only time. They were very nice. They came out and explained it to them because my communication wasn't too great. And, of course, the fellows at the Madrona Brothers, they tried to explain to them, but they were the patron, and they didn't really believe them, So and we got to, I called, and the fellow in charge of the Bracero program had the council come out. I think he even came with them and talked to them, and it was not a big thing at all. The next day, we were back to work and everything.
You said you provided them with doctors. Who used to pay for all the services for the doctor and the dentist?
I've been trying to think of that. I can't. I can't remember. I really can't. Maybe the Bracero program paid for them. But I tried to think about it. I remember taking them to Dr. McMillan, the dentist, and the doctor in Avondale. And then he would take, both of them would take care of them at night. That was very unusual for a doctor nowadays, wouldn't do that, But
what did they get sick of? I mean, did they have this?
Oh, just colds and things. It was nothing big.
Did any of them ever had an accident while they were working?
No, never did. Never did.
How about the housing that were provided? Was the housing paid by the farms? Or?
Yeah, we paid for that. It cost. That was a cost, a big cost. And we provided all their blankets, and we furnished them with frying pans, a few things like that, and tin cups. And pie plates, for they, not China, but it was a pretty big expense, but we always felt that they were worth it. They were worth it. They did good work, and of course, then about the time the cotton mechanical pickers came, we bought those and we did there. So that was the end of our Bracero program.
Oh, that's why you stopped working with the
Yeah.
Bracero program.
Yeah.
So when you were deciding what to provide for the braceros in the barracks, or where they lived, how did you decide it, like what to give them? Did anybody tell you you need to provide them with a bed? Do you need to provide them with a sink?
No. We had to provide them with everything they needed within reason. There was a company in town that it was called Yellow Front. It's no longer in Phoenix. People, it was a surplus outfit. And they provided everything for us. We'd give them an order, and I'd go in town. Myself, I'd go in and haul all that stuff out. And then we'd store it for the next year. Have to buy some extra. And when they left, you know, we'd take them, you know, the bus would come out, and a couple buses, and we'd wave goodbye to them. They're very friendly, they're very good. I wish they did things like that now.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever rehire the same braceros?
No, and we had one that came back as a green card. And he worked for us. He was the only one we ever had. And we had a dairy farm, and he worked at the dairy. And he got married and took off. I don't remember what happened to him. He was the only one.
Did any of them that worked for you ever ask you for letters to legalize their status?
We've done it for people. I can't remember. I think it was my partner had one that came back and worked for him, and I had to write a letter for him that he had worked here before.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little more about the fields and where they lived. Mm-hmm. What are your memories of that?
Okay. Are you familiar with Avondale?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, down on Dysart and Van Buren, there was a huge camp. Now, I had, of all things, last year, a cousin gave me a picture of this camp. And my daughter's trying to trace it down now. We gave it to the city of Avondale for their... and they were going to use it for something. But this lady in Avondale is doing a history of Avondale, and so my daughter thought she could use it, so she's in the process now. So I want to make sure I get where I can contact somebody. And it showed the camp. Mm-hmm. It was originally built for during the war for people migrating from Arkansas and Oklahoma out there. And the Indian reservation people come down there. And it was managed by this fellow that his nephew's the one I got to, well, I guess it was his son. And the son of the guy that ran it gave me this picture last year of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. And there was they were lined up, in orderly fashion, and each cabin had four bunks, two bunk beds, and then they had a table and I call it a hot plate, but it's a two burner stove. Mm-hmm. And then they had restrooms and shower rooms. And they were, this fellow managed it for the government, and they were always clean. And then we'd pick them up, the guys would pick them up, the two Madrano brothers would pick them up in the morning, bring them to the field. And for the first year or two, they would bring their own lunch. And then they'd take them back at night. Saturday we'd quit early and pay them, and they'd take them and We kept track of all their wages and things. And on Sunday, they play soccer a lot, and they'd play soccer there at the camp. We call it the camp. And some of my farmer friends out on the west side here, they had their own camps. I don't know much about them. But this was real handy to it for us. And it was clean. And it's hard for me to remember that far back. What were you doing in 52?
I don't remember.
You weren't even here. It was so hard to remember, but I think a few of them asked to go home during the year, and I'd take them downtown to Greyhound and put them on a Greyhound. And I think that the Cerro program paid for that, but I'm not too sure of that.
So what were you in charge of paying for them? Their housing and their wages?
We paid all their expenses, all of it. Doctors, and I don't remember how that, we probably got reimbursed for that, but we didn't get reimbursed for the camp or any of that, and we paid the extra man to manage the camp. He stayed there all day. He'd rake up and kept everything. The fellow that was managing the camp for the government, he made sure they kept it clean, the main thing.
Did you interacted outside of work with the Braceros?
What's that?
Did you interacted with the Braceros outside of working hours?
No, not really. My wife pointed out, though, that she would be either walking through the farm or driving. Now, this is, I don't know if it's, I don't want to, when they were out standing there with their cotton bags and everything, when they, any ladies come by, they'd take their hat off. That really impressed her. Yeah, they were very polite, you know. They're good people, you know. I see them down here on the Dysart, right outside, down by across the street from Home Depot. Everything, you know, and I just feel for them, you know. You know, they've got families, and
did any of the Braceros ever ask you to bring his family?
No. No, they, the one that came back and milked for us a while, of course, he married a illegal, you know, somebody that's probably from Cashin, where there, a lot of people lived. I don't remember the circumstance there, but she talked him into leaving to get a better job, which I don't blame her. I blame him. And, That's my story.
Did you remember any girls walking around there? I mean,
yes.
Trying to date the Braceros or hang out with the Braceros?
Okay, you asked me.
I ask you.
Okay. We had, on Sundays, two gals in a convertible came driving. They would go around the camp there, and they would use, and this fellow that I got to manage our part, you know. And he was a Bracero himself. The gals talked these guys and let them use their cabin, you know. Mm-hmm. And a line formed up there. And this fellow, I wish I remembered his name, that managed it for us, he went around camp. He's very smart. He said, go down there and get in line, it's free. And boy, they chased him out of the camp. That's the only thing, you know. I'm sure that draw ever faced, you have a bunch of guys. Mm-hmm. You're the one that asked me that, so I...
I want to know. I want to know about their experience.
Okay. I think we furnished them soccer balls. That was their main thing. And then some of them were really good. I don't know what they call that little ball these kids kick.
Oh, like a sacky?
Yeah. Yeah, some of them had those, you know, and they were constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the things that I just remember, we were picking down in the river bottom, we were picking cotton, and one of them caught a big rattler. Yeah, and he was laughing, he was chasing his... He was holding it up like this and chasing his friends, you know. I couldn't believe it.
A live snake?
A live one.
Holding it in his hands, just running around.
Yeah, we had them down there. But, they were used to all that.
Did any of them stay in touch with you after they finished working?
No. I'm trying to think of some stories about them. Oh, the fellow, the Madrona, one of the brothers, when they came up from Mexico and they got off the bus, he said, "Bob, we really got a good cotton picker." How do you know? He said, "Hey, he had six fingers on one hand." He did. Just things like that. I don't. We got along with them good.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if they had parties there or if they had celebrations?
No, I don't really know. At night, they didn't. They were. You could tell they were saving their money, because on Monday morning when I'd go to the post office, I sent some pretty good checks, or made out. And give it. They mailed it. No, they didn't have a bar. They eventually got a bar, but we no longer were in the program then. Across the street, but I don't. They didn't. Never had any trouble with them drinking or anything. And I'm sure they. I just can't remember. And I'm sure they bought beer and stuff and. There was no restrictions in the camp for that.
Now you said that you used to pay them the same amount as your other employer, as your other employees. You used to pay them the same amount of money?
No, it depended on how much they cotton they picked.
Oh, okay.
We gave them a ticket. Mm-hmm. We gave them a ticket when they weigh their cotton, and they'd save them. But we already had it. We gave them that to. So they know what they had coming, and we kept records of it. I don't have them anymore, of course.
So who determined how much you pay the braceros? An hour or
okay.
For sack or?
We did pay them by the hour in the lettuce, but I don't remember what it was.
Do you know who determined the amount? Like, was it the government?
No.
Was it the Mexican government?
It was, we probably had to check with, I wish I knew the guy's name that was in charge of it. Their office is on McDowell, in east of Central Avenue.
He was in charge of what?
You go to him and you'd say, we want 100 braceros. And they had meetings with us to things we had to do and everything. Had a school, kind of a school.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us growers would go in there and they'd check us out on what we had to do for records and things.
Do you remember any of the stuff that was instructed?
No. Now the cotton picking was, we kept with the, you know, you take a whole bunch of growers and everybody's trying to get hand pickers or get pickers. That's why we had the braceros. It's hard. Come by a crew, we'd call. And whatever they were paying, we paid. And they knew it. They knew what it was bringing. Like, it didn't sound like much. It was like three or four cents a pound. And by the end of the day, they would probably pick. Some of them were really good at it. Some of them were not too good. In fact, the guy with six fingers wasn't too good.
No?
He laughed, you know. We didn't have any. We didn't withhold anything from them, except the one year that we had them, that they had to pay $2.50 a day. They really didn't like it. We didn't like it, but the government says, "Oh, they're not eating healthy." But you know, they like their tortillas and their beans, and that when they start feeding them from the camp, we'd take these hot, they were containers that were kind of like thermos, and they kept them hot. And they get beans and bread. They didn't like bread, they liked tortillas, you know. We didn't like that, and they didn't like it either. In fact, a few of them, I think, did want to go home during that period, but that's about all I remember.
Do you know if there were any deductions that the government was taking away from their paychecks?
No, there was none. No. We paid for their transportation up and back. That was billed to us. That was one of the big costs from Nogales. They were from Nogales.
Oh, you had to pay the transportation from there?
Yes.
And to drive to the camps?
It was like maybe $10 a piece or something. Mm-hmm. Which was a lot of money then, but, you know. But, another thing that I remember is people, yeah, you're getting that cheap labor, you know. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't. But they did a better job than anybody else. I always admire them. They want to work. They wanted to work. And you can't say that by a lot of other people.
Did you have people who, without documents, wanting to work for your farm? Like undocumented?
Oh, yeah. We never checked. But we got out of the farming business in about 1980. And I know they have to do a lot of things now. And that's why I don't understand the green card, you know, the system they had. I wish they had it now. You know, I know there's people that would gladly pay their transportation and everything. And but they don't, I don't, do they use that anymore? You don't know.
So they used to come to work, they used to ask for work, and the farmers didn't really ask if they had documentation.
We just, if we need, But we didn't, we had our regular fellows. The, like I said, the Yaquis, they were from Mexico originally, and they didn't have any papers either. But we never did ask them, we didn't know anything about it.
Did they ever have any problems, the braceros, with any other groups that have worked there?
No, they got along pretty good in camp. I remember that one grower in Cashin got a bunch of Navajo Indians coming in. Bad news. Navajo Indians, they really didn't want to work, And they were put housed there, close to our guys, But I can't remember. I think they complained about them tearing up the shower stalls and stuff. But wouldn't want to be quoted on that. I don't really know, but something about that in the back of my mind.
How many people did you have working for you total?
Total?
Every year.
Oh, well, we had our milkers and probably 10. And then as the equipment got better, we didn't need that many. Yeah.
10 including braceros and non-braceros?
I was talking about non-braceros.
Okay.
Okay. The braceros, we'd get along about October, we'd have about 3 months and so on. That's it. But they had the system down, and they, the buses would pull in, and they were pretty, very easy to get along with, yeah.
Do you know if any braceros there were dating women from the U.S.?
No, I don't. Just that one, that milker. He was a kind of a Romeo type, and he's the only one that we ever used. And he was a good worker and everything, but he started dating this gal. She didn't want him to do that, so that's the end of that.
So, what does the word bracero mean to you?
Bracero?
Yes.
Mean to me.
Okay.
Why? That's a good question. It means, you talk about the Bracero program, it brings back some good memories. I wouldn't be here sitting there if I was not satisfied with it. And not because we took advantage of them. We didn't. We didn't. We really didn't. We had a lot of good friends that were Mexican friends. We still do. I was on the Tolleson High School board for 16 years, and it's mostly Tolleson. And we have, there was nothing ever racial, nothing. We didn't even think about that. They laughed at my ditchback Spanish, they'd get a kick out of that. I'd have to act part of it out,
So, talking about that, about race, issues of race, did you have anybody who was not Mexican or Native American working in your field?
I had a few people that drove our tractors and things.
And they were?
Oklahoma.
Yeah. They
happened to be from Oklahoma. And then the milker, he was from Arkansas. You hear more of it these days than you did back then. You don't. Christmas time, we always, up until just a few years ago, we always get tamales, but those people are leaving us pretty fast now. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're pretty old. Yeah.
Do you know, for example, we know that many Mexicans practice their Catholic faith. Did they have priests coming to your camp or?
No, I don't remember that. Now the Yaqui Indians. Easter was their big day, and down in Guadalupe, we'd go down there and they dance. It was a mixture. It was pagan and Catholic mixture. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Have you seen that before? And that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And they'd have celebrations on our place.
Did the braceros ever have celebrations in the same place?
No. Actually, when they're here 3 or 4 months, you don't. Just soccer, every Sunday, soccer.
So what do you think about the idea of creating a new program, a new guest worker program?
The what? Guest worker?
Yes. What about a new guest worker program? What do you think about that?
Well, I would be supportive of that. And that's what I can't understand. Some of our politicians, they never mention that. If they do, I you know, haven't really impressed me with it, what they say. That and a green card. Maybe they still do the green cards. I don't know. I think they should have something. That would save a lot of, you know, all this idea of a fence and everything. I don't go for that. They're doing it.
Is there anything you would like to add?
No. You about drained me. I just don't. I can't think of anything more, but I want to. She said to bring this. This is where I read about this in the paper.
Oh, the newspaper.
And Navarro asked me to bring this.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, we really appreciate your memories because that you bring a new perspective from somebody who hired Braceros.
What now?
You bring a new perspective of someone who hired Braceros. So we're really excited to talk to you.
Yeah, well, I really back those programs like that. And I guess I'm kind of, anybody that wants to work, I'm for. And they do. And these fellows standing down here on Dysart trying to get people, to do yard work for them and everything, you know, I really feel for them. And I would, anything that I could do, which wouldn't be very much, but if, you know, anything to get something like that started. That's about it, as far as I know.
Will you change anything about the program now?
It worked good then, but I don't know if it can do that now or not. I don't know. It worked good.
Will you hire women? I mean, will you think that women will be useful as well?
That's a good question. I don't know. It might cause, like if we had camps and things, mm-hmm. I don't know, I think that's probably a thing of the past. I don't think that would work.
Why?
Mixing genders in a camp, it wouldn't work, period. Like I pointed out that one story. But,
Did you have anybody who decided to leave before their contract was up?
Yeah, we had a few. I think I said that a while ago. Yeah, a few. I take them in town, downtown Phoenix, the bus, get their ticket, they get on. And
they were not punished?
Huh?
They were not punished for deciding to leave? If they wanted to leave early?
Oh, no. No. They weren't held there against their will. They wanted to be here. You know, no. None of that. My memory is that long ago. It was 50 years ago. That's a long time. I don't remember. One comes to mind that one came to me and Madrona told me that his mother was, I forget, something happened in his family. He had to leave. No, we'd take him to town. I made a lot of trips to town. Not a lot, but made trips to town. Wasn't like it is now. But.
So what happened to those camps when the Braceros were away?
We had to turn them back as clean as we got them. And they just stayed there. Now, when they disbanded that camp, they sold them as surplus, the cabins. And there are some of those cabins are located on off of I-17 and Lake Pleasant Road. As you turn to go off I-17 on the northwest corner, there was it still is a shooting range. And to the west of that, I driving along I-17, there's some of those cabins. And somebody put them up for some reason. That's the only ones I know of. Yeah. They were all metal cabins, and they, I can't remember if they, you know, they never did complain about the cold.
So those cabins did not belong to you?
No, they belonged to the government, the federal government. I wish I knew the history of it, and if you would give me a number that I can... Do you have a card or anything?
Yes, I can provide you with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if my daughter gets those, I'll forward them on to you.
Perfect. Okay. We really appreciate it.
But I can't promise. I don't know.
No, but we're happy. We're happy
you know, even in those days, you know, I should have taken a lot of pictures of the old farm. Mm-hmm. Now it's a golf course and a bunch of houses. You know, if I had, wish I had taken pictures, but I couldn't afford it then. I couldn't even afford a camera. I think I had a little Brownie. We didn't take very many pictures in those days. I wish we did.
Mm-hmm.
And,
all right.